Hi, good evening. Welcome to the Reedley Planning Commission regular meeting dated for Thursday, January 19th, 2017, first of the year, first meeting of the year. So let's go ahead and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Ellen, now we're going to go ahead and do attendance roll call, please.
Commissioner Bissett and Commissioner Hudson are excused for this meeting.
Okay.
Chairman Barcellas?
Here.
Excuse me, Commissioner Barcellas. Commissioner Perez?
Here.
Chairman Custodial?
Here. All right, before we get to public hearing and the agenda, we're going to go ahead and do the election of officers for 2017. So if you can direct me how to do this.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, what do you want to do, or how do you want to do this, Ellen?
I will nominate.
What we've done in the past is we've done a nomination, and then we do a first and second.
Okay.
And then a nomination.
Okay. All right.
Somebody has a nominee?
I'm going to nominate the chair to continue one more year so that he can have a full 2 years.
I second.
Okay.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcellas?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. Well, thank you. It'll be my honor. One more year. And now we have the election for vice chair, and I do have a nomination, and we can keep it the way it is for Mr. Pete to be vice chair as well. So I'll first go ahead and do that.
And I'll second.
All right.
Yes. Commissioner Barcellas?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so we'll keep the same hierarchy, I guess, for another year. And we'll go from there, see what 2017 brings us. So now we come to the portion of the public comment. This provides an opportunity for the members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on this agenda. Is there any comment from the public? Okay. Let the record show there's no comment. So now we're going to go ahead and to our consent agenda. So we have agenda number 3, which is the minutes for the regular meeting November 3rd, 2016. Commissioners, did you guys have a chance to review, and is there any questions, concerns at this moment?
No.
No?
Make a motion to accept.
All right, I second that.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Chairman Custodial?
Yes.
Commissioner?
Yes.
All right, and now we go ahead and continue with the portion for the public hearing with consent item number 4, and we'll give this to staff.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. Ellen Moore, Interim City Planner with the Community Development Department. The item before you tonight is text amendment application number 2016-3. This is proposing to amend the text of the Reedley Municipal Code governing medical and recreational marijuana. Just to get everybody up to speed, back in October, we did talk about medical marijuana, and we had a text amendment that was recommended to council related to a previous ordinance that we did. So that was kind of a backup plan. If Proposition 4 ended up not passing, we would have gone forward with that. But instead, it was very likely that Proposition 64 was going to pass, which is legalizing marijuana for recreational use. So what staff did was we passed an urgency ordinance on November 8th because some portions of Proposition 64 took effect the next day. So to make sure that we had something in the code at that time, we passed the urgency ordinance, and then we were going to come back with a permanent ordinance to further regulate and explain what the city will do about both medical and recreational marijuana. So as you can see in the staff report, and because I provided a a two-page kind of summary about Proposition 64, which is at the end of the staff report, client news brief from Lozano Smith. So it did talk about quite a few provisions included in Proposition 64. But what we're focusing on this evening is the fact that it is now a land use issue. So what the city is looking at are those land use issues, because they're supposed to be in our code and we enforce them, et cetera, et cetera. So the three provisions that we are looking at are that because recreational marijuana is now legal, the commercial operations are also legal, so they can now become legal commercial businesses, get business licenses, et cetera, et cetera. And it also allows for personal cultivation of up to 6 plants per household. And just to clarify, it's not per person, it is per person in the household, it is per household. So you can't, if you have 3 people living in a house, you can't have 16 plants or whatever, 3 times 6, 18 plants, sorry. And the other main provision is that Proposition 64 allows cities and counties significant local control over regulation related to sale, manufacturing, production, cultivation, and related businesses, including the authority to ban certain activities within the agency's jurisdiction. So the commercial aspect of the law, the licensing and everything doesn't go into effect until 2018, but cities have the authority to ban commercial operations related to marijuana. That's including commercial cultivation, dispensaries, and deliveries. So cities have the authority to ban those, but what cities cannot ban personal cultivation, nor can they ban consumption. But they can be regulated. So the ordinance or the text amendment that we have before you this evening does address those topics, provides more detail about other things. But the main things that it addresses, as I said, is it bans commercial consumption and cooperative cultivation, that sort of thing. So those things are banned. They're not allowed in the city, so we don't have to worry about licensing them or anything like that. They can't even come in. But what city staff is recommending for marijuana consumption, it can be consumed within a private residence or on the premises of a private residence but out of public view. So it can be consumed in the house or in the garage with the garage door closed, basically. And then another thing in terms of personal cultivation, the cultivation has to be done out of public view, so within the private residence. And something that the city added to that was the requirement of obtaining a personal cultivation permit. So anybody that does want to cultivate, they have to come into the police department and get a permit. So it has basic information like address, age, and names of the people living in the home, that sort of thing. So, and then in addition, the text amendment also talks about regulations like lighting standards, making sure everything's up to code. So this is kind of preventing large-scale growing operations that could potentially happen, you know, if someone's cultivating over 6 plants or something, or something like that. So the text amendment also kind of regulates that by just adding those standards. And so with the permit, the cultivation permit, that means that there will be inspections of the homes. The police department, fire department, and building department might get involved with that if they're in violation of any building code standards or fire code standards or anything like that. So the personal cultivation permit is optional, but it's kind of a step forward, because it's this proposition is allowing it, but I don't know if everybody is doing that. But of course it has its pros and cons, because the pro is that we know where cultivation is happening, provides context if anything happens in the neighborhood, and it helps us enforce these rules by knowing where things are and performing inspections. That also means that it It adds more staff time and resources towards that, so that it is something that can be recommended to City Council or something that we go forward with, but we wanted to have it in the code just so that you see what it would actually look like if we went forward with it. So it's good to know about those things. So in terms of environmental review, it's a text amendment, so it is exempt from CEQA. And it was initiated by our city manager and city staff, and we have the text amendment before you this evening. Police Chief Garza is here. Thank you for being in the audience tonight. So we're happy to answer any questions that you may have, and that concludes staff's report. Thank you.
It was pretty cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's not too many options.
Now, I just have one question. About consumption, it's stated that in the garage or in the home, just to be clear, it cannot be outside in the backyard. Is that correct?
As long as it's out of.
Yeah. Why don't you come up?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Joe Garza, Chief of Police for the City of Reedley. In regards to the consumption, as long as it's out of the public view, if it's in the backyard, as long as it's out of public view, it's very specific. So, if they're in the front yard, that's not out of public view. It does not matter whether they're on their property or not. It has to be out of public view. One of the other comments that I wanted to make, and obviously Prop 64, when, you know, the proponents of this and those authors of this, proposition, one of the things that they failed to really consider is the impact that it's going to have on local jurisdictions and the health and safety of our community. Because one of the things that they didn't take into consideration, and this is what we're going to find as an issue as we continue moving forward with anything that we do. Obviously, we have to go at the voters' request, you know, what they want. So we have to move forward and just deal with the issues as they're presented. But one of the issues that we've identified that is going to happen is, what if there's a young child in the house? Secondhand smoke is just as dangerous as firsthand smoke. But there are no regulations. There's nothing that prohibits people from consuming recreational marijuana in the presence of a child. Now, you know, obviously we can look at maybe contributing to delinquency of a minor, you know, putting a child in a dangerous situation. There's a lot of different things. But again, these are areas that have been unexplored because we have not been faced with it. But in law enforcement up and down the state of California, we do identify that there are going to be problems. Obviously, the other issues, and again, this is not necessarily has to do with this, but just as considerations for the board as we move forward, is the increase of driving under the influence. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be a significant issue. And these are all issues that have been raised by California Police Chiefs Association and chiefs of police throughout the state prior to this happening. You know, the consumption of edibles, because those are going to be available. So it doesn't mean just the consumption of a smoking, a cigarette, or commonly known as a joint, but also edibles. You know, they come in different forms. They come in forms of gummy bears. They come in forms of cookies. They come in forms of just about anything. How does a child know that that is not, you know, that's dangerous? So there are, you know, there's always been in any state that has moved forward with propositions that allow for the recreational use, there's always been, there's always been these issues that have been risen. There's an increase of hospital visits into ERs for children. You know, that has been the automatic thing that has always popped up. There's an increase. And then just the it's hard enough now that we have to deal with kids, you know, it being illegal prior to November 8th, you know, parents would have it, kids would have, and it made it a little bit more difficult for kids to access it. Now it makes it that much more, now makes it easier for kids to access it. So, you know, my fear is that this is going to be coming to, you know, it's going to create a pandemic of a sort that we may not have any control, because the only way that we can do anything about this is to repeal the entire amendment or the entire proposition, which again would take a majority of the state. But I don't see that happening either. So, you know, so those are just things to, as the board, again, they have no impact on what we're doing today. I just wanted to make sure that that was something that was on the record that was out there for the community, you know, that if they do choose to move forward with obtaining a permit, if that is the direction of our council, that they take these things into consideration. You know, that if they do have children in the home, they need to take that into consideration. They should take their children, their families, as a priority over their recreational use of something. You know, yes, it's their given right to do now, but their children should be the focus of whatever they do. So, you know, so again, there's nothing we can really do to stop it. Now, you know, as far as the planning, or I'm sorry, not the planning, but the permitting process that is included in your in the amendment, that was something that we had added because that was a direction of from City Council that they wanted to see that in there. Now, pros and cons to the permitting process, it does have a, you know, there does require some additional personnel to regulate that. Police department's already tapped out, but the police department would be the logical place for that to happen. So that would require us to shift some of our responsibilities that we have to manage this, permitting process. The inspections, fire department, you know, the code enforcement would have to get involved because we would have to ensure that whoever has this permit and is establishing some sort of grow for personal use, they are not exceeding what they, you know, what they're allowed, and that the whatever they're using to help grow, lighting, heat, anything like that, is within code, because you know we have seen situations where houses have caught on fire from grows and stuff because you know things are being used illegally, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of things that really kind of go into play, but you know, so those are some, you know, pros and cons. Some of the other cons that could be, we may have people that are reluctant to come and tell us, and they'll just run the risk. You know, the only way I'll get caught is if someone comes and sees it. So they're, you know, so the permitting may get some people to come to us, but permitting may not get other people because again, they want to be left their names confidential, because again, a lot of times that list may be subject to some sort of a Public Records Act, could be considered a public document. And if someone asks, you know, again, that's something we have not explored or really seen what the impacts could be. But what if someone did come in and says, I want to see a list of who has permits, because maybe they're a real estate agent, or maybe they're just someone that's interested in purchasing a home. We don't know what those type of impacts would be. So again, pros, cons, it's really difficult to say what's going to be the most effective method to deal with this permitting, if that is something that we do. So, you know, it's really tough to say which one I would prefer, because again, this is something that we've just never experienced. You know, never in my lifetime would I have had to deal with this. So these are just things to really consider as a commission, as you make your decisions and in giving direction to staff to move forward to City Council, so we can provide that, you know, those comments, those concerns, those pros, those cons. You know, whatever the case may be, to our City Council, so that they can make the appropriate judgment or call for the safety of this community as well, and ensuring that we maintain the rights of individuals as well.
I have one major concern here is the permit process, and Alan, maybe you can get involved with this as well too. The only source of revenue that we can in order to compensate for the workload and the manpower and record keeping or whatever is involved in that, is that going to be the only source of income that we can draw from?
That is correct. And again, that would be something that we would have to identify in our master fee schedule. So it's not something that is part of our ordinance, because it's something that needs to be fluid. It needs to either be up or down depending on the situations. So yes, that would be the only source. And again, and you know, so what is fair? I don't know. You know, is $100 per permit fair? I don't know. You know, is $300? You know, it would really come down to what our City Council would find fair. You know, we can establish what it's going to cost, man hours, you know, personnel time, et cetera, et cetera, and then say this is what the cost is going to be, you know, based on our estimates, you know, and it could be somewhere into the hundreds of dollars, I would imagine, you know, with all the permitting, with the initial interviews or the application, the review by community development, the inspections by our code enforcement, by the follow-up inspection by police department personnel on a, you know, on a maybe every other month process. You know, who knows? Again, those are bridges that we have not crossed yet because, again, really very, very new to us. So yes, in answer to your question, Mr. Perez, that would be exactly what would, you know, we would have to only be reimbursed by fees.
And Chief, the permit process, the permit itself is voluntary or is it going to be a mandatory
thing? Well, by our code, it would be mandatory.
Okay, so everyone who wants to go through this process has to go through the permit process, has to go through the interview process, fill out the application.
Correct.
Pay the fee that is, whatever is established at some point. So it's not... it's not going to be a optional thing.
No, it would not be an optional. It would be mandatory for anyone. That's why I said someone could choose not to.
Right.
Well, how are we going to know that?
Right.
You know, if I chose to do it, unless someone comes to my house and physically law enforcement or code enforcement or based on a complaint, someone comes to my house. Because, again, the fact that someone's smoking recreational marijuana does not give us the right to go and inspect them if they're growing. Because they may have just bought marijuana for their own personal consumption, but not for growing. So again, that doesn't automatically give us probable cause to enter into a residence to do an inspection. It would have to be that we literally fall upon it by, you know, by luck or by, you know, just by chance.
It's a lot to consider.
Absolutely. And it really does create a quagmire for law enforcement. And, you know, and this is something that, again, we've argued for years now, ever since this happened, and we've continued to fight it, but you know now we, you know, the fight's over. Now we have to just figure out how to make it work the best.
The permit process, Chief, is there an opportunity for denial?
I don't believe. Well, and we have not really got to that part yet, but I don't think that they're. You know, I don't think that they have an opportunity to, because if the permitting process says that you shall tell us where you're at so that we can do the inspections, they don't have a choice but to tell us where they live.
Okay.
They can't just arbitrarily say, I, Joe Garza, want to have a, you know, but I'm not going to tell you where I live.
Right.
Because
they have to complete the process, they have to complete the application.
In order to get a permit.
Okay.
And to grow it legally. And I put it in quotes. I know the mic doesn't catch me doing the quotes, but I'm putting it in quotes.
Right, right. And so, like, in the individuals who will be doing the permit kind of have to, you know, own the home? I mean, they have to show that they own the home?
No, they can do it through rentals as long as they have the landlord's permission to do it. They cannot just do it if it's a rental, they cannot just do it just because. They have to have permission from landlords, which really puts another level of process in place.
Okay. And I'm a little concerned that, you know, John Doe, you know, lives there and he comes and applies, you know, for permit, but his son is on probation for whatever reason. And, you know, the city says yes, you know, but because he doesn't put his son's name or whatever it is. And then there's issues there and with the criminal matter. And in fact, so that's going to be interesting.
There's a lot of twists and turns to everything. Because again, you know, a person can receive a permit today. And maybe using your example, Mr. Chair, is, you know, maybe their son or daughter or their child or whomever's going to live there is on probation, but it's not living there at the time.
Right.
They move in 6 months later.
Right.
You know, we don't know because they are not required to come back and do the renewal process for another 6 months. So it's a year-to-year renewal process. And just because, you know, anyone can come in at any time. So we can be doing this in January.
Right.
And hopefully everybody has come in, and then you're going to have other people come in March or whatever. So this is a year-round permitting process. So it's not something we're just going to be able to say, you have to do it within 30 days in January or you're out of luck and stuff, because then you're going to have people that are going to be out there growing without a permit.
Right.
So it has to be something that's very fluid for the entire year.
It's going to be interesting. Hopefully the consideration would be, fees and things of that nature, and making it, you know, hopefully, I mean, these amendments, I mean, they're fluid, that we can always change them if there's a need. So that's the good thing. But it's going to be an interesting year.
It will be.
This year and then the following year with allowing the grows. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? 2018?
The commercial businesses.
The commercial businesses.
Yeah. In terms, I mean, within the city, we won't have to deal with it because we banned it.
Right. All right, thank you, Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate the information.
You're very welcome.
All right, so commissioners, you guys, you have in front of you the resolution, all the information. You heard from staff and chief of police. So I'm going to go ahead and read this, and this is our resolution in front of you. Resolution number 2017-1. This is a resolution of the City of Reedley Planning Commission recommending to the City Council of the City of Reedley approve text amendment application number 2016-3, proposing to amend the text of the Reedley Municipal Code governing medical and recreational marijuana. And I'm going to go ahead and move to approve. Could I get a second?
Yeah, I did. I just noticed something, if you don't
mind. No, go ahead.
So something that was talked about in terms of the permit process, and it was brought up about owner authorization for renters. So one of the drafts of the ordinance was requiring a notarized acknowledgement from the property owner.
Okay.
And so, but staff was actually suggesting that that be taken out because it kind of, you know, in order for people to apply for the permit, it needs to be a fairly simple process, or, you know, not very lengthy, because if it's actually notarized, you have to go get the owner to notarize it, you have to pay a fee and all that kind of stuff. So in the medical marijuana section, the notarized acknowledgement is taken out, and then in the recreational, it was left in. So that's just an option if you want to keep them consistent, but we take out the notarized acknowledgement. Sorry about that. I don't know what that is.
It's there it is.
So if the commission so wishes to recommend it as is with the notarized acknowledgement, but staff is recommending that that be taken out. So if you do wish to approve it,
I have a question, Ellen. Are you saying that staff feels if you leave that in as a requirement that some people will just not follow through with the permit? Is that why they're thinking take it out? Is there that the benefit?
Yeah, that's the benefit, because, I mean, even for entitlements that planning does, that I do, we ask for an owner signature. We don't ask that it's notarized. So because we can verify that they're the owner, property information, so there is that, you know, we do have that protection that we can look that up. But for the, in terms of a notary, you actually have to, the property owner would have to, instead of just signing it, they would have to go to a notary's office or somebody that notarizes things. They have to sign it, do the thumbprint thing, and then there's a fee associated with that. So so with the permit here, it's, you know, because it will be helpful to have a permit from people and to have that information. We don't want to completely just put in additional roadblocks to actually get the permit. To have
so staff is recommending that we take that portion, and when we're talking about the notarized portion out, but there still needs a signature from the owner. That still has to happen.
That's correct. Okay. Yes, there is still owner's authorization required, okay. But it's just not formal, like super formal authorization. And just for reference on page 8, section C, that's where that is. So staff is still recommending that there be owner authorization,
okay.
But just that it not be notarized.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that. I would vote for leaving it, recommending how staff recommended it, taking it out, okay. As long as there's a signature from the owner. So, but before we get there, I was advised, we went through the whole process here and the agenda, I forgot to ask about public comment. So, is there anyone in the public that would like to speak? No? Okay. Show the record that no one stepped up.
Thank you.
You guys have any questions about what Ellen just said? Staff is recommending that it gets taken out to be consistent. The notarized portion, which would be additional fees, additional documents needed, but there's still an authorization needed from the actual owner, meaning a signature, and that's what they're recommending.
So does your motion stand As it is,
yes. Okay. My motion stands as staff is recommending to remove that, to make it consistent.
I'll second.
All right. So I'm going to go over this again, okay? Is that okay? Okay, so resolution number 2017-1, a resolution of the City of Reedley Planning Commission recommending to the City Council of the City of Reedley approve text amendment of application number 2016-3, proposing the amend text of the Reedley Municipal Code governing medical and recreational marijuana as is recommended by staff. And I move to approve. And Don,
second.
You second?
I second.
So Don seconds. Could we get a roll call, please?
Sure. Chairman Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcellas?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chief, for being here. You can stay if you want. If not, you're free to go. Thank you for the information. Really appreciate that. All right. So now we're in the portion of our agenda where the interim city planner report is presented. And so we get updates. Ellen, you have any updates? Any awesome, exciting news?
Hopefully.
Okay.
Well, what I did want to mention is that I do have a couple of timelines for current construction going on right now. I mean, of course, the rain is kind of stalling things quite a bit, right. including especially the Reed Avenue project. They're not able to stripe the roundabout, and they're not able to actually finish that, the roundabout, so then they can open it and then close are almost done with the roundabout, so they're just waiting for the rain and then everything to dry. So that is good news.
So is the striping the only thing that's left in the roundabout now?
I think so, because I'm pretty sure they've been pouring concrete.
The sidewalks and everything.
The sidewalks, yeah, because I saw that the street is there, it just doesn't have the striping on it. I haven't been incredibly close to
do we know what's going to go in the middle of the roundabout? I know there was a, last time I visited, the pavement was all laid, but there was a bunch of dirt still in the middle. Do we know what's going to go in there?
I think it's just going to be trees.
Trees and stuff like that?
Foliage, yeah.
Foliage?
Yeah.
Yeah, just to kind of complement the trail, because it does have a lot of trees there in the middle and then along the trail. So then with taking into account site distance, of course. But.
Right.
Is it the same construction company that did the roundabout on Danube?
Danube and Buttonwillow? I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure who the contractor was for the
other. Are the plans are similar to that?
They're pretty similar. The difference is I believe there's an extra lane, because with the one on Danube and Buttonwillow there's only one lane, so you just kind of
go around.
Other quirky thing about it is that there may be drive approaches near or in the roundabout for the two properties that are vacant. One of them is vacant on the south side, right next to the railroad.
Right.
And then there used to be an older repair shop or bus sales kind of next to roads and the trail on that side. They had a drive approach that was there, so they're replacing. But it'll be similar idea.
Do you know if it's once that roundabout is done and completed, they're going to move on to the next phase? To complete all the way to Manning, go north to Manning. Is the plan to take a hiatus and take care of that later, or what's the plan? Do you know?
They're planning on starting right after that. Okay. The whole project is from where the railroad tracks or the roundabout is to Aspen. So up where the school is, it'll just be reconstruction of the street. But then where the businesses are, they will have medians there. So that's what they're going to start on next. I think there will be a gap between the phases, if I remember correctly. I think it's all planned out, but there may be some time.
Okay.
There may be some time in between. But in a
couple of weeks, the that portion of Reed Avenue north of the roundabout will be closed fully. So that's something to think about if you're gonna be traveling over there anytime soon.
Okay.
So for the SAO 55, it was formerly known as Trailside Terrace. That's the mixed use project in downtown. It's the 3-story one that's being built right now. So they're actually planning on having their open house in May of this year. So they're getting it.
What is it called again? They changed the name?
Yeah, they changed it to
SAO 55.
SAO 55, because there is a Paseo in the project and there's 55 units.
Okay. Open house in May?
In May. Mm-hmm. That's the estimated timing. And so we'll probably get invitations, and you, of course, are invited, so we'll let you know when that is. And they do plan to move people in around that time as well. And then the AutoZone building, which is in the Town and Country Shopping Center, they put the foundation up for that. And they're going pretty quickly, so their estimated end of construction is in March of this year. So that's in a couple months.
Wow.
Last year, as you know, they do have the two grades 2 through 6 classroom and the multi-purpose room. No, the library. Those are both they're framed right now, and we have submitted plans for the kindergarten building, so that's moving along pretty good. Let's see, the clearing development on Frankwood and Lilac. Those are the single family homes that are being built. Frankwood and
South.
Lilac. South at the end of town.
At the end of town, okay.
Yeah.
And so that was a 12 lot subdivision that was just put on hold with everything. So there's three houses that are occupied right now, and then there's three that have been finaled, and then 6 of them are close to being finaled. So those went pretty quickly as well. Over half of them are sold, I believe. Couple of solar projects for packing houses, so people, the Reedwood community is taking advantage of that and investing in solar, so that's pretty good. And as you probably read in the paper today, there was the Blossom Trail development that you guys recommended approval in November was approved by council on the 10th. So that's good.
Manning and Zumwalt, the mixed, or
okay.
There was a commercial.
There's so many trails and
developments
with trails in them. I'm like, okay, which one is that one? Yeah, okay, Zumwalt by Thiele.
It is by Thiele, thank you, yes. Ironically, I don't think the Blossom Trail actually passes through there, and there's no trails on it, but it's a nice name.
It could go around.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So it will be a while before we see anything with that. And we did get some comments from CID as well, so we will see where that goes. As far as that is about it for me. We're always very busy. Building department's very busy, as you can actually see, because the construction is going on. We have some don't, and some do, so you will be seeing some projects coming up later this year, maybe in the middle of this year. I can't really talk about just yet, but maybe later.
And
at this point, that's all that I have.
All right, thank you, Ellen. Future agenda items, it says that we have none right now, but you will let us know if that changes.
I will let you know. I highly doubt there will be
okay.
Where I can give a month's notice, so it's very likely there won't be anything next month.
Okay. All right. If there's anything else, you guys have any questions, comments? All right. I'm going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting.